Can we turn, please, to Luke chapter 9? The miracle described here in these verses, from verses 11 through to verse 17, the feeding of 5,000 men, plus others, is the only miracle that is recorded in all the four Gospels. We'll find this described in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And when you just read it and you begin to think about what actually took place, is an example of the very, very same power that created the world out of nothing. Because what we have here, basically, is the creation of food that had not existed. Just a few loaves and a couple of fish. And yet so much was produced by the Lord's intervention. So much that the people were actually full up. And remember, they'd been sitting there all day, so they were hungry. It was possibly, you know what you'd like, you come in, I'm starving. And then they could eat as much as they wanted. And then they still managed to pick up, 12 baskets of leftovers. And in the performing of this miracle, we see five effects of divine grace. Firstly, that people are drawn to follow Christ. We read there in verse 11, when the multitudes knew it, they followed him. And the wonderful thing is, it says afterwards, he receives them. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ draws people to him. That's something we need to hold on to at a day where we perhaps have not the interest in the gospel that we would love to see. But here and there in this land, the Lord Jesus Christ is drawing people to himself. And perhaps he's drawing his people, us, closer to himself. And if we were to go to certain parts of the world, this place, if we could move it to Malawi, this place would be absolutely packed tonight. And I already mentioned it. The other effect we see here is the wonderful kindness of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it says there in the previous verse, he took them, that's the apostles, and went privately into a deserted place belonging to the city called Bethsaida. But when the multitudes knew it, they followed him. Now, he could say, I want to have this time with my disciples. Could you leave us alone, please? I think the modern expression, could you give us some space? He doesn't say that at all, does it? Says there, he received them, and then, not only does he receive them, thirdly, he instructs them in the things of God, and spoke to them about the kingdom of God. Gosh, that must have been wonderful to listen to, mustn't it? How privileged those people were to hear the Lord Jesus Christ teaching and preaching to them. And the fourth thing we see here is that he heals those who had need of healing. You just read that bit and you think, wow, yeah. All those that needed healing. It doesn't say what they were healings were, whether they were blind, lame, this, that, or the other, but all that needed healing, the Lord Jesus Christ ministered to each and every one. And the fifth thing that he does is, having taught them, having healed them, he then goes on to feed their bodies in a miraculous, wonderful way. And of course, Jesus just attracted people. His teaching was unique. It was so very special. It was so different from what they never heard anything like it before. And so he was followed by multitudes of people, crowds of people. And all they're interested in is seeing the Lord Jesus Christ, hearing the Lord Jesus Christ, perhaps being healed by the Lord Jesus Christ. Because, you know, they just come common, don't they? They find out where he is with his disciples. And as it tells us there, they followed him. There he is, having a quiet time, or seeking to have a quiet time. Because remember, the disciples had been sent out on the mission field, so to speak, two by two. And they were reporting back, and no doubt the Lord was so pleased to hear what they were saying, and he was no doubt encouraging them. But suddenly, there's this crowd suddenly there. And the Lord Jesus Christ has such a love for people. He welcomes them. He puts their needs above his own convenience and his own ease. Isn't that difficult? To put other people before ourselves sometimes. When we've had perhaps a hard day, or we think we've had a hard day, and perhaps we just want to collapse in the chair and have a cup of tea or whatever it may be, and the phone rings and it's somebody with a need. Whatever. And you think, but what does one do? One would hope that one would go. We used to reckon that people used to watch, when we were in the London City Mission, we reckon people used to watch. Because when we went away on holiday, we were laid 2 weeks in the summer at a mission house or property. And within 10, 15 minutes of getting back, the phone would ring. And it was always somebody in need. But you see, what the Lord Jesus Christ had was compassion. Compassion. And that's something you can't manufacture. You know, you can't act compassion. You either love people or you don't. The Lord Jesus Christ had such a love for people. And as he says, they're like sheep, aren't they, without a shepherd. And aren't sheep silly things, really? You know, they go all over the place. Do you know, up at Beachy Head sometimes they're out in the road. You know, there's a fence there, but somehow, out they go. And all they're interested in is feeding. They don't feed in the road, obviously, because there's no grass there, but you know what I mean. But they're daft. They need a shepherd to come along and say, oi, in. Or a dog, or whatever, or a combination. And the Lord sees people like that. And do we see them? Yeah, when you go shopping tomorrow, if you plan to go shopping tomorrow, into your favourite supermarket, people going around with their trolleys and their baskets, like sheep without a shepherd. Oh, they know what they're doing, they know what they want, they've got their lists, but they've got no security, no salvation. You see, one thing the Lord Jesus Christ knew intimately about everyone was their spiritual need and their physical needs. And here he'll minister to both. He ministers to their spiritual needs by teaching them. He ministers to their physical needs by healing those that needed healing. And for all of them, of course, when it came to the feeding of this great crowd. I think myself, personally, the one thing I need prayer for is compassion. Compassion on people. Some of the people that I meet up at Beachy Head, it makes your heart bleed when you hear their stories. And you have to sit there and listen, and all the time, and sometimes the language is quite strong. But you've got to love them for Christ's sake. And sometimes they're not easy to do, is it? Especially when it's freezing cold and the wind, rain's pouring down. But maybe it's easier to talk to them than it is to my next door neighbour. But here we need to ask the Lord to give us compassion. Compassion for people. And I think if we ask him to do it, he'll give it to us. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ continues to preach the good news of the kingdom of God, as it tells us there. He received them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God, and then went on to heal them, many of them, from their sicknesses. And as I say, it doesn't tell us what he actually taught, but it must have been wonderful teaching. And of course, his teaching was in such a contrast to what they were used to. The teaching of the Pharisees. It was all rules and regulations. You had to dot every I, cross every T. And even then it might not be enough. But the Lord Jesus Christ cuts through all that stuff. Goes to the very heart of the matter. And says to people what they need for the goodness of their souls. You see, for the Pharisee, and of course, sadly, there are many today, both in and out of the church, the bottom line for the Pharisee is, I must go to church. I must do this. I must do that. Whereas, for the Christian, the true believer, the bottom line is not I must, but I trust. Now, it tells us here that in verse 12, when the day began to wear away, time goes on. These people are spellbound, listen to the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course it takes time to heal people as well and teach and everything. And the day is going on. It's possibly, certainly after midday, probably well later in the afternoon. And the disciples are worried. They're fearful. The 12 come and said to him, send them away, send the multitude away, that they may go into the surrounding towns and country and lodge and get provisions, for we are in a deserted place here. They could be frightened or concerned, but they might collapse. They might grow faint through hunger and fatigue. It happens, doesn't it? You know, hunger and tiredness combined can make us very wearisome and faint, possibly fainting. These people had spent a long time without anything to eat, with no provision. And because obviously it started, they found the Lord Jesus Christ in the morning. And now here we are in the afternoon. Now, it's quite easy to see, and I'm sure we'd be exactly the same, to see where the disciples are coming from. They have sat there, and they have seen the crowds absolutely riveted, spellbound, listening to the Lord Jesus Christ teaching. They have seen people wonderfully and miraculously healed of different diseases. And when that's going on, when this, if you'll excuse the word, the modern thing, when you've got this buzz going round, maybe the thought of food and sustenance doesn't really enter their heads. Now, Bethsaida is the place that is mentioned there, and in verse 10. Now, Bethsaida is not that far away, but there wouldn't be sufficient food in that place to supply the needs of such a large multitude. So, if they're to eat, and they need to eat, they must leave. They must be told, go. So the disciples approach Jesus with their advice. And basically that advice is, send the people away. And what the Lord says to his disciples is this: getting rid of the people is not the solution to the problem. What he's going to say to us, and in fact the disciples themselves will be used to be the means of supplying all the food these people want and can eat. You see, what the Lord Jesus Christ wants, you see, is for them to ask, to seek, and to receive. Asking him, the Lord Jesus Christ, to step in. That's what we need to do. Our problems as individuals, as a church, we need to ask the Lord himself to step in and supply the solution of these problems. The disciples are confused. He said to them, you give them something to eat. And you can imagine them looking around, can't you, see 5,000 men, must be at least, I should imagine, quite a few ladies there as well, and children. And you can imagine them seeing and saying, how on earth are we going to do that? And they said, all we've got is 5 loaves and 2 fish. It's not even enough for an adult. This is a small boys' picnic bunch. But the Lord Jesus Christ displays a very free and generous spirit. As I say, the disciples point out what they have. 5 loaves and 2 fish. And of course, we know this came from a little lad. John's Gospel, chapter 6 and verse 9. There is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. But what are they among so many? And of course, Andrew is the disciple that brings this little boy with his lunchbox to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not a great lot of food, really. It's going to be a small lad. Children's portion. Certainly, when you consider the thousands there, that's nowhere near enough. And even if they could go and get supplies, because remember, the Lord has said here, you give them something to eat. They're all going to traipse off to Bethsaida. And have they got the money and the wherewithal to buy all this food and then to lug it all the way back? And you see there, when they say, we have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish, unless we go and buy food for all these people. It expresses, if you like, the disciples' perplexity. So easy, isn't it, to be perplexed? Where do we go from here? But what is now going to happen is what the Lord Jesus Christ can use with what little they do have. And by coming down to us, by what little we have. We may indeed be insignificant in the eyes of the world, but in the hands of the God, he can have us do great exploits. As I say, it tells there in verse 14, for there were about 5,000 men. And Matthew, in his account, says, besides women and children. So nobody knows precisely how many people were there. So how can all these people be fed? The problem is this. The disciples are looking at the crowds instead of looking at the Lord Jesus Christ. They are seeing the crowds, 5,000 plus. And they're looking at them instead of looking at the Lord Jesus Christ and considering the power and love of the Lord Jesus. They'd seen him in action. They'd seen his love, his compassion, they'd heard his teaching, they'd seen his miracles. But they're not looking at him. And isn't that so much with us sometimes? We look at the problem. Look to the Lord. So, of course, the Lord provides the solution. The Lord Jesus Christ commands the disciples to make the people sit down in groups of 50. Make them sit down in groups of 50, as it says there. I don't think there's any spiritual thing about 50. I just think probably it would make the distribution of the food much easier, and it would be easier to count as well. But what it is, it shows again the Lord's an example of the Lord's desire for order and not confusion. Get everyone sat down neatly and properly. There, 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 there. So they do that. They sit down, or they may have a lay down, I don't know. And then the Lord Jesus Christ has for a blessing, doesn't he? Looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke them and gave them to the disciples to set before the multitude. The Lord Jesus Christ asked for a blessing on the food. And being blessed here means more than just giving thanks. And there are many other examples of looking heavenward in prayer, particularly in the Psalms. In Psalm 25 and verse 15, my eyes are ever towards the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. We read in Psalm 121 and verse 1, I will lift up my eyes to the hills, from whence comes my help. In Psalm 123, unto you I lift up my eyes, O you who dwell in the heavens. Behold, as the eyes of servants look to the hand of their master, as the eyes of a maid to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God until he has mercy on us. And Psalm 141 and verse 8 says this, but my eyes are upon you, O God the Lord. In you I take refuge. Do not leave my soul destitute. And then just a couple of examples from the New Testament. John chapter 11 and verse 41. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And then one more, John chapter 17, verse 1. Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven. And of course we do that today, don't we? We say grace at meals. Because surely that's where our food comes from. All comes from the Lord. And the Lord broke the food. He broke the fish. He broke the bread. into pieces and instructed the disciples to give it out to the crowd. He gives pieces of bread, pieces of fish to his disciples, who then take it and distribute it, probably from the baskets that are available, which they later use to pick up the leftovers. And the people were sat on the ground. And then Mark's description of this event says they were sat on green grass. And they only have green grass there in springtime. So this event would have taken place just before Passover in the March stroke April time. Just a few simple words to describe this miracle. The blessing of the Lord Jesus Christ makes a very, very little go a long, long way. And the Lord calls the bread and the fish to increase in such a way that all the people there had enough to satisfy any hunger that they had. Very few words concerning this miracle. It just tells us that people ate and were all filled. But of course the food was not to be wasted. So much food was left that over 12 baskets of fragments were picked up. And it would be perhaps used in a later time. But when you think 12 baskets left over, it just gives you an example of the generosity of the Lord in the provision for his people. You know, he's not just given us a bit of mercy and a bit of love. He's given us his complete mercy and his complete love. It's total. It's absolute. And forever, of course. And today, as his children, he continues to give each one of us so much more and more and more. Surely there is a very simple lesson in this for us. And what we have to do, or rather what we need to do, is to place at the Lord's disposal the abilities, the gifts, and the talents that he's given us. And then, he, the Lord Jesus Christ, in spite of us, will enable us to feed the souls of many people with the bread of eternal life. He will sanctify. He will bless. He will so increase our talents and powers for his service, doing it his way. We must not waste our time. Time is precious. We must not waste our money. We must not waste what strength that we have. We must not waste what health we have. And so it goes on. Because as we go older, some of these things are not what they once were. But whatever the situation, whatever our condition, we look to him and not at the problem. And the looking to him, he will indeed enable us and help us to carry on and to move on. So may the Lord indeed bless us as we seek to continue in our service for him, both in here, at home, wherever it may be, looking to him for all that we need.